It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to the Friday edition of Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley and your host. And, you know, I've been enjoying this verse-by-verse teaching we've been doing all week on the book of Philippians. Get out your pen and paper and your Bible, and we're going to have a Bible study today. And today we begin with the third chapter. Paul begins with the word finally. It doesn't mean he's closing the letter because he's going to have another chapter. Another finally he'll say in Philippians 4:8. But it just simply means he's giving them some serious advice. He's wrapping up the thought that he had been carrying on the previous chapter. He reassures them that this trial, his chains, his imprisonment, has turned out for his good, and the gospel is being preached throughout the whole palace guard. Look what he says in Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Now, you're going to see when you study the book of Philippians that this is the theme of the book, that in spite of our trials, we need to rejoice in the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Paul goes on to say, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. See, he keeps telling them in this book of Philippians, in this letter he penned to the church at Philippi, rejoice in the Lord, not in your circumstances, not in your provision, but rejoice in the provider. Rejoice in the Lord. This is the theme for the letter that Paul's going to use all the way through. In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22, it says this, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, penned these ancient words, a joyful heart is a good medicine. Joy can bring healing both physically and mentally. I love the way Peterson in The Message translated this verse into modern English. He said, a cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. See, that's why Paul said finally, rejoice in the Lord. In verse 2, Paul goes on, he says, beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Now, Paul is warning them here about the Judaizers. In our day, we would call them the legalists, those who focus more on religion rather than relationship. I find it interesting that Paul uses such graphic language. First, he calls them dogs. Beware of the dogs, of the evil workers. See, they thought what they were doing was good work, but it was evil. Trying to declare men righteous by their fleshly works instead of what the work was happening in the spirit. In the New American Standard, Paul says, beware. In the NIV, he uses the word watch out for. It's actually a Greek word, which is blepete, and it means to be observant, to see something physical with spiritual perception. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21, it's one of the great verses. It says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. My friend, you either relate to God by Christ's performance on the cross, or you relate to God by your works. If you relate by Christ and what he did on the cross, then you're going to have righteousness. Righteousness cannot be gained through the law. You're never going to get in a right standing with God because of your works. But when we come through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, we find forgiveness and we find relationship with God. In Romans 3 and verse 19, Paul says this, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. See, he's saying here that the law was given to the Jews. It was never given to the Gentiles. And it wasn't given to them to make them righteous. It was given to them to show their sin, to help them know their need for a Savior. So whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. And then he goes on in verse 20, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. See, the real curse of the law was that if you kept all 612 laws and you missed the 613th, then you were guilty of breaking the entire law. Because how perfect did you have to be? Jesus put it this way, be ye perfect, therefore, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, Paul goes on in Philippians 3, verse 5. He says, he's beginning to list his own pedigree. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, I was a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. See, Paul had been keeping the law since he was 8 days old, circumcised on day eight. He was a member of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a scholar. He was a Pharisee. He was zealous. He persecuted the church. But look what he says in verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. See, he's saying one moment with Christ far surpassed all my religious deeds. He's saying I'll trade all my pedigree in a moment for what I've experienced through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul lists all his Jewish credentials, and then he tells them it was not enough. Let me read this out of the message in Philippians 3 and verse 7. It says, the very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Wow. Philippians 3, verse 8. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. Now, Paul uses two phrases here, counting all things to be loss, losing all things, and counting those things as rubbish. And then the addition, which is really multiplication, he says, that I may gain Christ. See, for Paul, nothing else mattered in comparison with knowing Jesus Christ. Philippians 3, verse 9, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Paul's telling the Philippians here, it's not enough to have Jesus in you, but we need to be found in him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. See, Paul knows that we can never be good enough to be righteous before God by our works. Two times in this one verse, Paul mentions righteousness comes by faith. And then he tells the Philippians in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. One of the greatest verses in all the Bible here is Philippians 3:10, when Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. In these two verses, Paul is going to list four ways in which we identify with Christ. What is it? The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, where we're crucified with Christ, and then finally, attaining to the resurrection from the dead. We get life after this life because we have Jesus Christ. In verse 12, he says, not that I have already attained all this or become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. See, Paul's saying, I'm not the perfect example. The perfect example is Jesus Christ. I haven't obtained all this, but I press on to take hold of that which Jesus took hold of for me. I'm not perfect in the flesh, but God sees me perfect Paul says, I just want to take hold of it. In the Message, it puts it this way. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way reaching out for Christ, who has wondrously reached out for me. Isn't that powerful, friend? Philippians 3:13 now. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid a hold of it yet, but one thing I do. Now get this. Paul's going to say the one thing, the main thing. I forget what lies behind and reach forward to what lies ahead. See, in these next two verses, Paul's going to use the analogy now of a runner and giving us a word picture of someone who's striving and stretching for the prize. He says, I'm not perfect, but I'm striving for it every day to be more like Jesus. I forget what lies behind and I reach forward to what lies ahead. Neighbor, don't let your past dictate your future. Don't let the past hold you back, but press ahead and strive for what lies ahead. He goes on and says, I press on, in verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. When a runner's running a race, he keeps his eye on the finish line right in front of him so that there's no distraction. Get your eyes on people and you'll be distracted. But Paul's telling us here about the goal of receiving that glorified body when Christ returns for his church. And he says, I press on toward the goal. In verse 15, Paul says, let us therefore, it's amazing how many times that word is used, isn't it? As many as are perfect have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal it, that also to you. I actually believe the NIV did a better translation of this verse than the New American Standard. It says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. See, we're not always going to think the same and agree on everything, but what we do is God makes it clear to us. In verse 16, he says, however, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Now, Philippians 3:17, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. In the ESV version, he says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. In other words, don't be distracted. Just follow my example and observe those who walk by this pattern that's a godly pattern. Paul's best teaching to them was not the letter that he wrote, but it was the life that he lived. See, friend, you can quote all the scripture you want, but if your life is not reflecting what you're reading in the book, something has got to be wrong. Now let's wind up today with Philippians 3:18, and then we'll pick up again next week as we get into the fourth chapter and the great chapter that Paul winds up with. But look at Philippians 3:18 as we close out today. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. See, after telling the Philippians to follow his example and follow the example of Timothy and Epaphroditus, Paul tells them here that there are others that you're going to need to stay away from, for they are enemies of the cross of Christ. See, they may be religious, but they're not righteous. My friend, I hope you're enjoying this verse-by-verse teaching from the book of Philippians. I know it's a lot of scripture, but the word of God's powerful. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It can really make a difference in our life. I encourage you to take a daily dose each and every day of God's word. Thank you for joining me today on Fresh Oil. We'll pick up again next week as we continue our journey through the book of Philippians. God loves you, friend, with an everlasting love. He really does.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.